This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Welcome to it. February 7th. My name is Ben Karpinski. You're on the Gareth Cliff Show. And I'm sorry, a couple of minutes late this morning. Completely my fault. I had a bit of a shit of a day yesterday, I gotta say. No power from like 2 p.m.
Oh, shucks.
But the most frustrating thing was it was apparently a phase thing. So like the rest of the building on the left side all had power.
Oh, that is...
There was a bright outside light outside of our apartments in the hallway, power. Mm-hmm. The whole street, power. As no power.
Oh, no! That is horrible!
Yeah, so like with power, you lose Wi-Fi, so therefore you lose the will to live. And I got such little work done. And then this morning, obviously darkness. Last night, darkness.
Oh, so shucks. Since the afternoon, you haven't had power?
No, nothing.
Did you leave the darkness this morning? There's still no power.
I left the darkness this morning, made a pretty bad call on the rain, so I came here on the bike, thinking, not so bad. I wasn't surrounded by light, so I had no idea. And it was wetter than I thought, and here I am. And then my laptop was dead, so I'm trying to get this thing going, like, because obviously can't start the show without a laptop.
Uh-huh.
And that's how you start a radio show, when you're standing in for Gareth.
Ben. So it's be nice to Ben Day.
Ah, young Gordon's here. Look at that.
Hello.
Yeah.
Like you haven't seen me sitting here for. It's be nice to Ben Day today.
No, I'm not looking for sympathy. I was merely just, you know, because we run a tight ship here, Gord.
Not sympathy, kindness, Ben. That's what I'm here to bring you today.
Okay, well, look, I'd rather take a coffee, but kindness, I'll take that.
It's Gord. A bad day. It's not a bad life.
Oh,
let's
wow.
hold hands while we reflect on that.
No,
how do people not slap you more?
I was just going to say,
hug
that
you,
deserves
slap you with
a
hugs.
Punch in the face, and that would be completely allowed.
Thank you, Gord.
I was going to say, if they attack you, I'll throw myself on you to protect you, but that would definitely kill you.
Yes.
Yeah. So either way, it's not going to go very well today. So it is a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
See, Gord, yesterday I was talking about vlogging. So right now there's a camera on you.
Oh, shit. That is such a small... That is literally the size of a matchbox.
What's
if a matchbox had a slight eating disorder.
What?
It's the size of a large matchbox.
Okay.
Well, not that important. The whole thing is that we are Wednesday, as per usual. Gareth is in Valdezere still.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's no fancy way of saying it. I'm just making it up. He's in Valdezere. He's having a whale of a time.
It is... a fancy place, just the mere mention of it.
What is Valdezere? It sounds like it's from Harry Potter.
It's a French skiing resort.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Gareth.
There we go.
Yeah, you go ski, champ.
Yeah, so yeah, we will plot on. And yeah, there's big things happening at the moment. Of course, if you are on the social media, you'll see on trending topics that that's four-letter word that was the rudest word in the country is back. Zuma.
Mm.
Well, not that it ever
well,
really
not
went
back,
away.
It's
but
still not gone. It's
spot on, Gordon. It's still not gone. And now there's speculation that he wants to now fire Cyril Ramaphosa in one last act of chess moving.
Mm-hmm.
You see where this guy's coming from. Okay, firstly, he's an absolute dreadful human being. And we can't get away from that. Again, like I like to present the facts. I have Exhibit A, Jacob G. Zuma, horrible, absolute dreadful human being. He has no interest in this country. He has no interest in succession plans. He has no interest in anything other than himself. He's made that so clear.
Mm.
Like, so clear. Like, Elton John, he's into music, wild outfits, and other men. Jacob Zuma, himself. You know, these are things you can't get around. So now, Sona's been delayed.
I don't know
how
your mind went to Elton John. Sorry to interrupt you, but please continue. I just wanted to raise a flag that was a weird comparison. But it worked.
I was looking for things that are not in doubt, Gord.
Yes,
I got you. So there's no grey area.
No, it was lovely. It was just unexpected. Yeah. Please continue, Ben.
So Sonar has now been postponed. Now, Jacob, believed that he would be giving both Senate addresses in the rest of his tenure as the president. But now it's been postponed. He's called his cabinet in.
Well, here's the thing, though. With the postponement of Sona, it has to be next week the latest. Because in 2 weeks, we have the budget speech, and that can't clash.
True, and the outfits that were hired have to go back.
Well,
yeah, because the red carpet is still important.
So I was actually talking to a journalist friend of mine, and she was saying how much of an inconvenience such a thing is.
Well, because now, Jacob Zimmer is, yeah.
Well, apart from that. Because they were now already, and they were in Cape Town.
Mm, yeah.
And now they have to come back. Mm. And now tight budget, so. For such a postponement of just going again next week. Essentially,
yeah. So that's,
unless they just move the budget speech too, who knows?
That's the latest on that front. The presidency ZA, which I still don't know if it's a parody account or if it's the real account of SS politic, SS leader, says that all the allegations around Mr. Zuma wanting to fire Cyril Ramaphosa are completely preposterous.
Yes.
And on the other side, the actual political oracle in the whole thing is obviously Julius Malema, because all his mates are inside the ANC looking to jump to a ship that is going to float past 2019. So they'll spill the beans to him all day.
Yeah.
And he said any time from now he will resign.
I'm surprised though that his friends are still sharing details with him.
Oh,
friends.
No. I mean, you've got to have your inside people, Sia. That's how you get ahead in life. You keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Did he really say he'll step down when it rains in Cape Town?
I think that was a joke.
Okay, because it was like in, I think from Daily Maverick. Yeah, was it something he really said as a joke, or was it?
I'm not aware that the president said that. I know that he was saying that he still has a lot of friends and a lot of people looking out with him within the ANC. So he was just basically saying, everybody needs to calm down. I'm not going anywhere. I still have all my peeps.
I think he has many metaphorical hands on many metaphorical testicles.
Yes. And that speaks to, you know, him having found a way to protect himself and to ensure that his longevity has lasted as long as he has, is because he knows that all he needs to do is just squeeze the fist a little bit and somebody's testicles are going to get hurt and they're going to shut up and they're going to be reminded of where their place is and what they need to do. That's how he's gotten ahead for most of the part.
And call it a bit of, I don't know, maybe conspiracy theory if you're that way inclined, but I was at a dinner party last night and yes, we were discussing politics. One of the things you're told never to discuss at a dinner table. But one person was thinking along the lines of the fact that our president probably sits in a meeting room, just the one that he called after 10 a.m. yesterday, and says, hold up, but you guys want me to step down, but you took money from here, and you benefit from the Eskom deal, and you benefit from that. So actually, y'all, if you try to get me to step down, then I'm going to reveal your secrets too.
It must be. It has to be that he's got something on everybody. It has to be.
Well, of course. And he's been gathering things on people the whole time because, you know, that's his background.
Yeah.
He's not an entrepreneur. He's not an engineer. He's an espionagist.
Certainly not an academic.
No.
So does that mean that we're just always going to abide by his rules?
Or non-rules, depending on how you look at it, yeah.
Well, look, that's what politics is about, though. I mean, I don't know why people think that politics is about doing good in the world. It absolutely is not.
Yeah, it's just self-serving.
Like, crap, really. It doesn't matter who's in power. They're always going to be looking out for themselves. We need to stop being babies about that.
I'm just surprised we didn't wake up to a shuffle, folks.
a cabinet reshuffle.
I wake up with a little shuffle every morning.
I thought we were going to get a press release.
There were a lot.
At something past midnight.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation about what could possibly happen. So wait and see.
We wait and see, but if you are waking up to news or didn't want to know what was going on, or you don't care anymore, well, that's basically the crux of the matter. There was always one more move up Jacob's dodgy sleeve, unfortunately. And I think the Rand kind of responded yesterday by going back over the 12 mark at a decent rate. It leapt back up there.
Dollar's also taking a little bit of a wobble on its own. It makes me all think about like when you were a kid and there was that one kid that... Okay, kids are quite brutal and mean. So aside from that, when you were a kid and there was a bunch of mates and either somebody's little sibling or some kid that nobody actually liked had to play with you. because the parents or the teachers or whatever said that they had to. And then knowing that you were no longer allowed to tell them to stop playing with you, which you kicked them out repeatedly, and now that they knew you weren't allowed to, they would like lord it over you and be even worse than before. They were just annoying. Like, now this kid, you can't make it go away, and you'd like loathe it even more, and the whole game's ruined for everybody. That's what I think of when I think of Jay-Z in this situation.
So not a good thing then?
No, that was an analogy for bad stuff. Bad stuff. Childhood bad things.
Yeah, but that's where politics has got to, unfortunately. So how it comes out of here, obviously Justice will update us. I think by the time Justice comes in here next Monday, there'll be some proper stories. So, in the words of Rich Mulholland, let's not react too much on current affairs. Let's try to rather get a full story. But unfortunately, these are how these things happen. And, this guy. I loathe him.
Yeah.
You know, everyone dislikes people. I really wish bad things upon this guy. And I'm not saying because I'm malicious or petty. It's just that he's just getting in the way of this country. He just is and has been for far too long.
More than that, I still just don't understand what his intention is.
See, we've just been saying it for the last 20 minutes. Serve himself.
But for what as well? Like, is it just about money?
Power, greed, and just the fact
power,
that he is a dick. He
ego,
is just a horrible person.
Money, it's all of those things combined. I mean, it comes with a lot of world leaders. Well, a lot of world leaders
are
like that. Sure,
psychopaths, CEOs, same thing. So you see, you are inherently a nice person. So you don't quite comprehend it. He wakes up, he's a dick. He's just horrible to the core. You know,
I don't want to be dramatic in my comparisons again, and it's as warped as the Harvey Weinstein of it all.
I'm gonna say
someone
exactly
who gets off on someone else, but they aren't enjoying it. So, for example, how can you look at yourself in the mirror? You're like, yes, I am powerful, but no, people are forced to bow down to you. Essentially, it's not that we've put you in the position and we love you. You know, we aren't throwing rose petals at you when you walk down the road.
No, and it's also people who already have gained a degree of kind of so-called legitimate power. Mm-hmm. Like, you've done really well in movies and you've made a bloody fortune, and you can have a lot of things that you kind of are entitled to, in as much as anyone's entitled to luxury and all the rest. It's like, same with Jay-Z. He's got loads and loads of money. He's got loads and loads of power. He's the president. It's not like he's got to snatch power back because he's like, you know, you get some people who are driven to like terrible deeds because they have no alternative or because they're desperate. These are people with like pretty much all the means that they could want at their disposal, plenty of influence, plenty of power, and they need to be like a cock about it.
Yeah. It's a classic case of superiority complex syndrome. I am in charge of you and I get to do whatever I want with you. And this is what I choose to do.
And like
I choose
any resistance
to be horrible.
Is just like an affront.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if it does happen, the hashtag Zexit, I would like to see that one trend. That's pretty funny.
Is that like a real thing or did you just make that?
No, I see it's on the trending list now, but I just wish it'd be at the top with like happy emojis. So, do you remember who Katie Hopkins is?
Katie Hopkins.
What does she do?
Jeepers, this is a tough crowd. So,
Katie
Hopkins is that English woman who really does a lot of like controversial things. A lot of people hate her because she's seen as like a right wing kind of individual. She was the woman who said things about Casa Semenya, about it's not fair that these women are racing against a man.
Was she the racer person that said that? Like there was one of
Casa's
competitors said something like that. Is that her? Also was British. I'm like playing 20 questions with everybody else.
There was this little English runner woman lady who was bitching about the fact that she came like 11th and that Caster won. And she was like, if only, you know, it's just unfair. I'm running my best, but you know, these people in this race don't seem to have an unfair advantage.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, she's not the story.
Not her.
Katie Hopkins was just commenting on it because that's what she does. And she obviously pissed off a whole bunch of South Africans by saying what everyone was thinking around that topic, like Casa Semenya should not be allowed to race in women's races. She's done a whole bunch of other things.
Okay.
Anyway, listeners out there will totally know who this chick is because she makes a lot of waves on social media. And even with the whole Me Too movement of the Hollywood actors and actresses coming out and saying stuff, she was very forthright in saying, you bunch of bloody hypocrites, you now want to come out and say something wasn't bad. Meanwhile, you've all got your Oscars, you've all got your money, and now you want to throw Harvey under the bus. Like, she's a real straight shooter. Anyway, she's come to South Africa to investigate Plaas Moord farm killings. So you see in the hashtag around. Go to her Twitter account. You'll see she's been here for like a few weeks now. And, you know, she obviously hasn't endeared herself to the country with the cast and stuff. And then she's hanging out with Steve Hoffmeyer.
Yo.
But what? She is investigating all the farm murders. So she's like interviewing people from around the country who have been victims of farm murders. And I believe this is a massive thing. But because it's like, it's almost like a convenient crime. It's out there. It's got about to do about the land. It's just white Afrikaners being killed. You know, we hear stories now and again, but they don't make mainstream news. Look, it's unfortunate that there are racial tensions on farms as well. I mean, we saw one of the black farm workers was killed recently in what was seen as a racist attack. There was a guy who was allegedly thrown into like a pit toilet as well. And then, of course, the whole coffin thing. You know, the guys went to prison for that. So, huge amount of tension on the subject. Katie Hopkins has been here to investigate it. And yesterday she was trying to leave and this happened.
At passport control, I've been through security and I've been detained. My passport has been marked for spreading racial hatred here in South Africa, trying to find out and tell the story of white farmers being murdered. I'm not sure what's going to happen. They've taken my passport away from me, but it doesn't look like at this present time I'm going to be allowed to board my flight and leave the country.
So that seems a bit strange how one woman who's coming here to investigate something is now a public enemy.
Yeah, but I mean, we know that the powers that be get to bend rules here and there to their liking whenever they feel like it. This is nothing new. I mean, we know that certain people are barred from entering the country because of political reasons. In the
The Dalai Lama couldn't come to other things.
In the same vein, you know, other people will be prevented from leaving the country because of, you know, political reasons. We know that people often bend the rules and like move pieces around and change the narrative. We know that this stuff happens.
So allegedly the thing is she's got quite a sensational tabloid kind of background as well. So this woman doesn't mind a bit of attention. She will go and she'll poke the bear. That's what she does. So, you know, while she was here, she had a t-shirt that said, "I love Israel" as well. Obviously she knows her audience and she knows her touch points. But she also seemed to challenge Julius Malema to an interview on the whole farm murder thing. And Julius, of course, he wanted nothing to do with this. So, I mean, she'll go out and say and tweet things like, "Dear Julius Malema, a black man like you, afraid of a little white woman like me." And it's about this whole subject. But the whole thing about farm murders is I just feel that we don't know the full story here. And, I mean, there's like people are getting like tortured with blow torches. I know there was a whole Black Monday thing. It got on Twitter. It was seen as Afrikaans racism. The old flags came out. It's a horrible subject, this. But maybe it takes someone like her to go and ruffle some feathers and we might get a bit more truth in the whole matter. Like, how bad are they? How widespread are they? When Steve Hoffmeyer says something like white genocide, the SA media basically just call him a racist and they poo-poo whatever he's got to say. So, like, I know you guys look at me kind of blankly here, but I don't believe we're getting like a balance about farm murders, how tragic they are. And is there actually a motive to silence what's going on? That's more what I'm getting at here.
I would agree with you on us not knowing the full story, because there's always two sides to the story that you hear.
Precisely, yeah.
And then people usually just decide, well, I'm going to side with the white side. No, I'm going to side with the black side of the story. And then we resort to our favorite positions in life, which is screaming at each other from across the fence, us versus them.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we ever get to solving problems when that is how we choose to deal with them each time.
Yeah. But now, you know, with like certain ideologies is that obviously this whole thing is being pushed by our politicians about the land. And I feel if you do look behind the stories, most of the land that's out there that can be given to people is government owned. Government couldn't give a toss. We've seen the stats. We've been through this topic over and over and over. But the narrative sits of the land. The whites stole it and it must be given back. So if people are being killed on hashtag the land, then I think some people perceive it not to be a crime worth considering.
Yeah.
But what a crock of shit that is, because it's still other humans being tortured, killed, murdered.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is different people care less for various groups for their own reasons that they convince themselves of, and that is across the board.
And I think to Mabelli's point as well, we don't have a sort of credible, neutral source of information.
Yeah.
We don't have an objective reporting you know, there's stats and whatnot, but we don't have anybody reporting just for the sake of passing on information as opposed to somebody reporting from the perspective of an agenda. And I mean, also, Steve Hoffmeyer is a massive douche.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just saying this. Okay, I'm not taking a side here as far as Katie Hopkins is concerned, because I don't know what her motive is. Is she trying to sell a book, or is she making this up? Because, you know, she does fly pretty like close to the sun with a lot of things.
Sounds like she's outrageous as a brand.
She is, yeah, completely. So this whole passport thing, I don't know if it's completely true, but it's not completely unbelievable.
It's very easy for someone in government as well to go, oh, look, like you want to cause some trouble. I'll show you. And just flagging a passport, if you, even in mid-level government or in any kind of law enforcement, is a pretty easy thing to
absolutely
do.
Absolutely.
Cause cuck for you. Sometimes.
All it takes is somebody to just say, just handle her. Just handle it. And then it gets done.
We complain about certain things and processes being so slow and taking a long time. And there's a flaw here and there's a loophole there. But sometimes, like,
there's a
man
in the roof.
Katie Hopkins, was she really a priority in the greater scheme of things that need improvement in South Africa?
But also, if you're doing that to try and, like, quote unquote, punish someone or, you know, to show them, you actually only give more power to their stance. Like, yeah, exactly. If for no justifiable reason or no stated reason, a person who's come here to report on something that is, if not a legitimate, genuine phenomenon, then certainly something that's widely discussed and widely reported enough to warrant investigation. So if someone's come to warrant, I mean, rather to investigate a thing that warrants investigation and then wants to leave and is detained by government, and their part of their story is there's some sort of cover-up here, it really helps them. I mean, she's got to miss a flight, wait a day, maybe two. I don't know how long this shit takes to sort out. But, I mean, her story just got a lot better to end with, and then they wouldn't let me leave the country.
Yeah.
Signing off, Katie, whatever the fuck.
Exactly. So, Katie, whatever the fuck, she has managed to leave. And another tweet goes on to say that, thank you for all the kind emails. I am out of South Africa, together with my documentary footage that ANC does not want to see.
Did she have anything nice to say? Like, generally, the people are quite chipper. The food's nice.
I mean,
the weather was good.
I didn't know that she was here.
Good. Well, you guys didn't know who she was prior to me asking
still
questions.
Kind of
yeah, that
but
too. So, who was she hanging out with? Like, who were her peeps?
Steve.
Who was showing her around town?
The Hoff.
Yeah, she was hanging out with the Hoff. Look, she went to a variety of places, and she also then spoke to, you know, like the whole xenophobic thing that's going on. So what I don't understand about this whole thing, and we will cut it here because if you don't know who this woman is, this might be like really boring you, but she was seen as someone coming in here with racist agendas. Mm-hmm. She was looking to investigate a certain kind of murders. Like, again, like we keep blurring the lines about what real racism is here. And by doing so, we're diluting what real problems are when it comes down to race. Just because a woman wants to go investigate something, does that make her a racist?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
she's not coming here to oppress a race, because that's what racism is. It's a superiority thing.
Yes, but we have far moved from actual definitions of what things are, Ben. We all hate each other. But I mean, let's be honest about the fact that when things like this happen, we pour all our emotions into it, we all retreat to our groups, and we all just spew hate. Like, that's what this is about.
Yeah, and here we go. Here's a woman basically just showing us up for what we are. Well, I'm not going to say we are, because it's a bit of a journal term. But it's just so easy. It's like, okay, we don't like her, we'll put her in the racist box. She's doing things that we don't like, so therefore she's a racist, and, you know, you can't be a racist. It baffles me, Sia. That's what I'm getting at here. It troubles the mind that we can't be open and honest about things in life.
You know, it is interesting that you say it baffles you, because to me, it's like, for me, it's a case of, I mean, that's humans for you. We're so predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I don't know. It almost feels like you expect more from us, Ben. And,
no,
you know, me being the eternal pessimist, I'm always like, oh, well, that's hardly surprising that humans have been a complete letdown again.
Yeah, well, they have, Mubs. They have. Let's quickly get the message before we get into the sport. Sorry, and the news. Amazing government can actually do something. I mean, to get her passport flag requires someone doing their job.
That's what I'm surprised
very
by,
true.
Too. Exactly.
Ben, stop spreading rumors. The old flag did not come out on Black Monday. You guys even reported on that. That ass ENCA reporter used old photos. Okay, yeah, fair enough. We'll get into that. Ben, I feel your pain, man. Jacob is a puss. Thank you, dude. Vince. Yeah, so look, there's more messages around the farm stuff. Anyway, we have run out of time. We need to get into the five things you need to know outside of what we've already spoken about. So very heated and depressing start to the morning, but you know, you've got to, every night again, we've got to address these things.
All right, well, let me give you a summary of exactly what happened yesterday, okay? So the ANC, yes, they did announce that their president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has postponed the special NEC committee meeting. It is now going to take place on the 17th and 18th of February. The party met on Monday night to resolve to convene a special NEC today to discuss the president's future, but then the president decided to postpone this whole thing. So all of that will happen on the 17th and the 18th of February. Now, the prophet Julius Malema, that's what people are calling him. Even Karen Morn retweeted Julius and said that, you know, this guy is always like the source of information, even for us journalists. He always knows what's
just
going to happen.
Just a well-connected guy.
So now, while opposition parties welcomed the postponement of the State of the Nation address, because that's another thing that was postponed, the EFF is insisting that its motion of no confidence in the president be debated before SONA takes place. So, you know, the EFF still keeping to their script as far as them being one of the opposition parties is concerned. Now, there were reports that the president was going to resign soon as a list of preconditions were finalized in a deal that was struck late last night between him and Cyril Ramaphosa. And according to Times Live, this has been confirmed by sources. So again, you know, lots of meetings that were happening late last night, and one of the reports saying that, yeah, Cyril and Zuma did meet behind closed doors. They agreed to some other terms, and they're saying that, yes, the president will resign soon. But I mean, soon is relative. And this was one of the things that Julius Malema tweeted yesterday, was any time now, the president is going to resign. And then you did touch on this, Ben. There were also reports that in the meantime, the president of the republic is working on having Cyril Ramaphosa axed.
Yeah.
And the SACP were one of the voices that came through and said, well, hang on now, Mr. President, you know, show us your cards. Are you indeed plotting behind the scenes and planning on having Ramaphosa axed? You know, so a lot of stuff went down yesterday, but yeah. We'll wait and see how the story plays out. Justice did say that it was going to be an interesting week. The last couple of days sure haven't been boring. So we wait and see how this all ends.
Could it just end, though? Please, please, could it just end?
No, end how?
Like, I try not to get bothered by this kind of shit, but it's just... as you said, Mavs, we can't be surprised, but... the levels of dickery. It's just that it's just like finding new ways to disappoint the human race.
But can you even be disappointed anymore? It's like, what do you expect? Yeah. You're like, the clouds to part, the ray of sunshine to come through. And it's like, politics is back to being reasonable, normal, and organized.
But when was that the case?
Everything is called. We're not asking for...
Well, when I say back to, I mean like in comparison to what we're used to. Things happen when they're supposed to happen. You know, like Thabo Mbeki was boring as hell, but at least you could predict things more or less. You know, like anything can happen nowadays.
I guess it's kind of like prison.
Whereas nothing
like prison
used to
food.
Happen with Thabo Mbeki.
I guess it's kind of like prison food. You know it's going to be horrible, but a part of you always hankers for the fact that it can't always be cuck. And one day you can actually have something that will... be decent.
Yeah.
I think that's what politics is making.
Better grubs. Better grubs in the oatmeal, please.
You are the king of analogies sometimes, Ben. Like.
All right. Is that it, Mubs?
Yep.
Anything else you wanted to throw in just for this moment?
No.
No. So we'll go straight to more depressing news, the cryptocurrency updates.
Oh, okay. Well, then. But, let's do it.
Bitcoin currently at $7,418. Ethereum, $729. As for the rest, It's stabilized, but I mean, there was a big drop like yesterday. It is trying to fight back, but who is fighting back with the currency? When's Ren coming in to again make us feel like we should be in this?
Somehow, sometime when he's back from traveling all over the place.
He's going to hiding, is what you're saying?
or just traveling a lot.
How are the coins compared to when I was here last, which was week before last? Because I remember week before last, they were like taking down the batteries.
No hesitation.
It's all gone to shit.
Look at the look. I wish the listeners could see the look on Mabali's face. It's like sheer. She's reveling. That's all I can say.
It's kind of gone from like Ike Turner to Charles Manson.
How long before it gets to Harvey Weinstein?
Look, I think a lot of people have been Harveyed over cryptocurrency. Anyways, getting to some sport. It's been a relatively slow sporting week because, well, I think we're all waiting for Super Rugby to start. It's during the week. The Proteas aren't exactly inspiring us too much at the moment. And that is where we'll start today because it is the third ODI today in Cape Town, which means, of course, it will be played because it doesn't rain there, so it'll be very fun. And, well, who are the Proteas going to pick? Eben Villiers is out. Quinton de Kock is out. Faf du Plessis is out. You take those three people out of the Proteas batting lineup, it's like just having the tears left. It's just not very good. So Hashim Amla, he really
was a pro joke. I got that was the pro bit that you left out that made tears funny.
Yeah,
I'm with you, man. Okay, Gord, please continue.
As long as I can get one, that's fine.
I got you. I'm with
you. Just a quick single, huh?
With you, bro.
Just a quick single. So that batting lineup is looking well. I mean, Adam Markram was obviously given the captain's armband in like maybe a Graham Smith kind of thing. Only thing is, Adam Markram, you know, he hasn't dated Mickey van der Vestes and he isn't going to be the next captain, I think, for the long term. So it was a cute call, but there's too much pressure on the Zerk. He's just trying to get into the team. Graham Smith was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of player. Mostly because to be a great captain at a young age, you've got to be a bit of a doist. You've got to forget about the fact that you're young and inexperienced and just basically tell everyone that you're here for the VARP.
Ignore Lance Klusener when he's mean to you.
All that kind of stuff. So Markram, who is a very talented batsman, and no doubt about it, he is an exceptional player. He's now being thrown this absolute hand grenade of this current Proteas team. Because if you captain the side, you go, oh, it's cool, don't worry, I've got AB. Ah, shit. That's cool. I've got Quinton. Where's Faf? No, Faf either. So he's got very much a second-ranked team against an Indian team, which does definitely know what they're doing at this level of the game. And the ODI team is just, it's the business. It really is. The spinners are doing wonders, and they will again strangle the middle order. Who's the middle order going to be? Is it going to be Miller, Dumini, Behardeen? Is Zondo going to be retained? All eyes on the selectors here because they literally have to win this. If they don't win this, they're 3-0 down in a 6 ODI series and there's no real way of coming back from that.
Why are all those pro tiers out? What's going on there?
AB and Faf have finger injuries and Quinton de Kock hurt his wrist.
Mm.
So Heinrich Claassen, he will definitely be coming in on the whole selection pondering because he is a wicket keeper. He's also a decent batsman. He's averaging 52 in the One Day Cup for this year with a best of 91 not out. And he actually could be an opening batsman as well. So good for him. Is Kai Zonder going to be number 4 or 5? Oh, firstly, you've got to bring Behardeen back. I know I've been making this joke for quite some time now. But the problem is that it's no longer a joke because he's actually a merit call. Who would have thought? So probable side, if you really are looking at this from a neutral's perspective, is Hashim Amla, Eden Markram, Heinrich Claassen. That's your top three. How they changed it around? It'll be the top three like that. Then we've got JP Duminy, David Miller. But then you've got the option of, should you be playing more all-rounders? Could Chris Morris and Pekka Lekwai both play? And in that way, you're kind of negating the fact you've got to pick an iffy number six, which then means that Behardeen may fall out. Then Rabada, Morkel, Ngidi, and Tahir. Look, Albola seem fine. Tahir hasn't been as successful, but that is what it's going to look like today. That match against India. India are going to win. I'm just going to say it right now. They're far too strong. They're far too settled. And Virat Kohli's in great form. So with them, they've got their superstars. They've got their balance. With the Proteas, well, they're just hanging on for dear life. Tomorrow, the South African PGA Championship starts at the Eye of Africa, which is of the south of Joburg. Beautiful place. Interesting layout. And Eric van Rooyen is the defending champion there, so into some local golf. Now, the Varsity Cup is currently on the go, and last year there was a guy called Constant Beckerling. Oh. And Constant is, well, he lives for his team, he lives for the boys, and again, the great thing about Varsity Cup is that they do throw a lot of innovations in there that sometimes don't make a lot of sense, but the whole thing is they give great TV coverage to this level of rugby. So with that, obviously comes the post-match interviews, where Constant is pretty much the king.
Only constant in life is constant.
Why is this so soft?
Sorry. Is that Constant?
wait. And here's Constant.
We knew that we were here to make history. The whole week, that's what we told ourselves. And you know what? I'm so proud of the boys. Absolutely humbled. And the guys came out. They played with enormous testicles. And we absolutely did it. Fantastic effort. I'm such a happy captain.
It's 2 weeks for you. You got two wins for you guys on the trot. Where to for here from here for the Wits team?
Well, it's head down, building. We've got a lot of games still to win. We're a lot of brave boys. And let's go shake this tournament up.
Now, we've got a question for you coming over Twitter. It comes from @McGregor_Nicholas. You worked yourself like a Trojan horse. Who is your Springbok hero that helps you move the way that you do?
I would say it was Skalkburger, absolute hard man, tough as nails, and a big brain to boot. A humble guy, what a fighter.
Just the same as you are bringing up your career. Congratulations, all the best for the weeks ahead.
Thank you very much. Take care.
So he hasn't just won the final, if you were wondering. Yeah. He hasn't just played the All Blacks. This is like Wits versus whoever.
He's a
versus
constant
Tux.
Source of inspiration.
He is.
I love the you worked yourself like a Trojan horse analogy. Like the horse pretty much just chilled there. it was like not busy.
But can you imagine?
It was the opposite of busy. Its job was to appear like it was chilling.
But it penetrated the opposition.
Yes.
Is what he was really going for deep down.
But
can you imagine? This is what he says on TV. Can you imagine what he's saying to the buggers in the change room?
Oh, yeah. He replaces the word testicles with something else.
I reckon this is the kind of guy that will watch like any given Sunday, every Sunday before the match on Monday.
That dude is amped as. Yeah.
So cyber attacks aren't anything new in the world, but it's this developing story around, okay, Dele Alli is a Spurs player. Spurs just had a very controversial draw versus Liverpool in that Mo Salah scored 2 goals in injury time. Liverpool 2-1 up. Spurs get a dodgy penalty. So what do the Liverpool fans do? They attack the iCloud of Dele Alli and they find a sex tape.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
So don't let this be a lesson to all of you who want to take a dive in the penalty box. People will find your new sex tape. Yeah.
Dude, I mean...
How about this for people's justice?
As you well know, a big United fan and quite involved with the supporters, etc. And like the one sort of great memory I have about Dele Alli is that it's quite a thing for supporters groups of all clubs around the world, you know, satellite groups in different countries that aren't obviously singing around the stadium. If you come up with a song and it gets kind of adopted by the British fans at the stadium, it gets sung at the stadium. And the guys, the one day I wasn't there, but the guys started singing something that we sing quite a lot of stuff. That's like, hey, Dele Alli, I want to know why you're such a... thing that rhymes with stunt or blunt, and they started to sing it at the game, and it was like a huge proud moment for the supporters because we got a song sung that they like digged and stuff. Anyway, I'm sort of blushing. It's like a bashful proud moment for me, but yeah, Dele Alli,
well done.
They're victimizing. I wanted to ask you though, on British football, what do you think of Chelsea's string of results and Conte? Like, there's talk now of even a sacking. Is it just a random run of crap results, and or is it another quote-unquote, or rather so-called team mutiny, like the one that was had with Mourinho 2 seasons ago? What do you
Chelsea
make of it?
Chelsea are strange like that. They really are. Firstly, I think Mourinho is pulling the strings here behind the scenes, and he really wants Conte to fall in his face because he hates him.
Yeah, because of how they celebrated when they thrashed United at Chelsea. It was so, like, disrespectful.
So all of this stuff, whether it's happening naturally or maliciously, Mourinho is having a bit of a laugh. But yeah, I mean, Chelsea... they were second. They're now dropped down to third. They're now dropped into fourth because Liverpool now in third.
And got thumped by Watford. 4-1, I believe.
4-1, 10 men down. And they've got Barcelona coming up in the Champions League.
And then City.
Yeah. So right
and
now,
then United.
You don't want any of the fixtures they're about to walk into. Look, I don't know. Conte obviously came in a decent squad, won the first time out. If he's got staying power, is there a cultural problem? You know, I just don't see any sort of cohesion around Chelsea right now whatsoever.
I just wonder if more is being made of it than a bit of bad luck and a crap string of results like every team has now and then, or if it's really like a collapse, an internal issue, Conte's lost it. Because, I mean, it could be coincidence, but it began as soon as he had that little public spat with Mourinho.
But exactly. I think Mourinho's finding some insecurities in him, and that's why he went for it. Because the guy's a master tactician with that kind of stuff. The sideline banter. I mean, here's a guy... Arsene Wenger crumbles when he sees Mourinho, and the results will say it, whether playing Chelsea, Man United, whatever. So that's the thing. If Jose doesn't like you, there's a good chance you'll be out.
You get sad. If Jose doesn't like you, you become sad, you become and that sad, affects your performance.
Petty. Yeah. Finally, in rugby news, Alistair Coetzee, as we all know, was pushed out, probably for the right reasons, but we all know that under the iceberg of SA Rugby, there's a whole bunch of feces. And Jake White has basically said as much, saying that Alistair Coetzee was given a rough deal. And we all know Jake White was given a rough deal too. Jake White was the World Cup winning Springbok coach, came home to a fanfare and basically getting fired. Hi, you've just won the World Cup, but no, you're out. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Obviously, Jake White's got his own issues. Difficult guy to work with, some say. But he was successful. Alistair Coetzee, not successful, also pushed out. So,
is he out?
That's a good seer.
Yeah. See, I don't pay enough attention, man. I know people weren't wild about him.
Officially out, 44% record. But Jake White is siding with him, saying, well, look, we all know there's bigger problems. There's more skeletons in Saru's closet than at all the hotels that Harvey Weinstein's been at. So,
or the roof at that hospital.
I shall leave you with that. But next up, we're going to spin things around, quite literally. And we're going to spin things around with a bit of positivity, because so far this morning, Sia, I think you'll agree with me, it hasn't been overly positive.
It's been a bit bleak.
I do apologize. I think it's got a lot to do with me, but you know, I'm just picking up on the stories.
But we're here to support you.
And I'm putting it down. And if this thing would play...
We're here for you.
Sorry, guys, I'm not making excuses, but I mean, my day did start on the back foot. I was plunged into the dark ages. But here we are, said by Sia with some positivity for you on this Wednesday.
Yes.
So when you get back home, are you going to go to the other half of the building that does have electricity and ask if you can plug...
Knock on a neighbor.
Plug
store.
Some of your stuff into there.
No, I'm just going to stay here for a bit longer today. Although yesterday this woman did say, I've got an extension cable, I will run from my patio if you want.
Oh, shame.
I mean, the sense of community of where I live is really fantastic.
That's sweet. Well, folks, if you want some positivity that's closer to home, here's something that Santon is doing. Do you remember, well, ages ago, we once discussed this initiative in Rwanda. It's a day that they call Umaganda, and it's a program devoted to anyone who lives in Rwanda who's under 65 years old, has to participate in this one day of community service.
Seriously, I was there for it.
Mm-hmm. So now, Santon is doing something similar. Look at you, Santon, not just a place where we go for little Botox fillers and shopping, but now the entire Santon community will be cleaning up the city once a month, every month. So here are the details. Let's see if it works. Let's keep an open mind with this one. The city's new monthly volunteer cleanup day is all about communities working together to make things better. So Elaine Jack, who's the manager of the Santon Central Management District, says many Santon companies are keen to do their bit and participate in the City of Johannesburg Arisebetseng Saturday cleanup campaign. However, most are closed on weekends, thus excluding them to do so. So what they've planned is, as Santon Central is a predominantly business node, we are calling all businesses to participate in the Santon cleanup, which is on the second last Friday of every month, starting from the 16th of Feb. They say they're really excited to see how the fun, innovative, and meaningful ways, big and small, that organizations can come up with to volunteer and to make it a regular initiative. So let's see how this works. I think it's actually interesting. Santon Central, the team itself, consists of about 56 public safety ambassadors, 5 patrol cars, and 25 cleaning staff. So they are the people who say, look, wherever you are, however you are, come along and band with us and let's make the city cleaner and safer as well. So this is all happening on the 16th of Feb. If you want to get more information on this, and this is everyone really, residents, businesses, charities, any other organizations, you can all get involved. All you have to do is visit santoncentral.com. Click on the link for council information and scroll down to the download section where you will find the Arisebetseng registration and commitment forms. Folks, what do you think? Do you think this can work?
Well, see, I think it's more than just cleaning up. It's about taking pride of where you are. I think that's what it comes down to. You know, we all need to have integrity. We all need to have some sort of substance in what we do in this country. So what this is, and you know, having been in Rwanda and seen what goes on here when they do this thing, it's like, it's just taking pride of where you are, who you are, and what you're about. So when people just want to throw garbage out there, it just means they have very little respect for themselves along with their place of life.
Yeah.
So this is about getting a mindset around. Plus, a cleaner place.
Well, true.
Yeah. Well, in Barcelona, like, I know a lot of people live in apartments. There are not a lot of places. It's a wonderful and beautiful city, but there's not a lot of places that have like lawns. In fact, I didn't see any. And a lot of people have dogs. So people are very big into walking their dogs. They're big into like, you know, there's little park places. There's little areas, even if they're small, in the middle of like an intersection. Mm-hmm. There's little areas with small fences around them that are designed for dogs. And they have a little time and date thing there as to when it was disinfected, because dogs do their business there. Mm-hmm. And it's like it accommodates that kind of thing. And a lot of people form social groups around their dogs. They like... they'll get together and go do stuff on the weekend and take all their dogs and hang out. And it's like, you know, it's a thing. They kind of recently, I know my girl is there, and she recently with her Dachshund friends, a group of, I don't know, 10 of them. It's like, we got to take the dogs. We got to go somewhere. We got to do something. And we're going to hang out for the day on like a Saturday. So they just went and cleaned a part of the beach, because the dogs can run around. It's the beach. Mm. It's like just an activity people go and do because... hey, you're going to hang out, why not do that? So quite a cool mentality.
Yeah, it's interesting. Elaine also says, you know, it's not difficult or complicated. It can be as simple as taking 1 hour of your lunchtime or giving your 67 minutes per month. And they, as the Sandton Management District, are here to help anyone who wants to get involved. I like especially that they're calling out corporates as well, because I think it's all good and well that me sitting in my cubicle want to go out there and clean Sandton. But hey, well, what am I going to do with answering emails and? So if your whole entire organization is behind this, let's see what happens.
Yeah, but you can imagine though, there's some big companies making some big money in Sandton. I'm not sure how dirty Sandton is in comparison to other parts of the country. True. And how many people are going to be like, look, my whole workforce take an hour or two off on a certain day. It's literally going to go into hundreds of thousands or millions of rand, depending on how big your company is and whatever. But like, there are, if you go, there's that area, I don't know if it's still called this, but there's that area that used to be called Mushroom Park, that little park right in the middle of Sandton. I assume it's still there. I haven't popped by in quite a while. Anyway.
Well, there's now massive apartment buildings towering over it.
But it's still a park, right? Yeah. I know that the it's either the Sand or the Yixkei River runs through it. A river runs through it.
Yeah.
And that's like full of litter and stuff. So I was going to get like their wellies on and go and pull litter out of a river, or are they going to do a lap of the block that they work on, find the four pieces of litter from the lunch break and clean that?
Let's see. 16th of Feb. Let's see what that holds for us.
All right. Very good. Yesterday, most days here on Cliff Central, there's always great shows about a variety of things in life. So I ask you the question, are you doing business the right and ethical way? Well, Pumunklapo with Disrupt, he was on yesterday, and Tumi was back in studio discussing trending headlines on the show with Pumi. Joining the team in studio as well was a passionate young social entrepreneur and philanthropist, Vanessa Masilo, founder and CEO of Crystal Clear Visions. So, get the podcast. It's powered by T-Systems South Africa, and it's now on cliffcentral.com. Otherwise, you can listen to Pumi every Tuesday morning live after the show with us. Just so many great shows. And this one, of course, is touching on the science of business. So, Sia, that's it. Hour one done.
Yeah, bro.
Are we going to be touching in with Gareth all this week, or are we just letting him get his puzza on?
Yeah, he's getting his puzza and skiing and something else on. I don't know what.
Skiing.
Skiing, puzzering.
Skiing.
Yeah. And more skiing.
That's it.
Mm. All right. So, Gord, otherwise, we haven't seen you for quite some time. Yeah. Anything new on your side?
Well, I missed last week. I apologize for that. But I am I'm doing the usual fat guy thing, back in the swing of that after December. You know, as you may remember, I went away for 2 weeks in January, so it was a bit of a rough December and a bit of a late start to the new year for me. So I'm just back in the gym and I'm trying to sort my shit out, and that's going quite well so far, early days, but I was doing pretty well last year and trying to just regain that momentum. And quite impressed by Elon Musk's Falcon Heavy launch, which maybe we can discuss now
in the second hour for sure.
Yeah. And pretty positive in general, guys. Happy to be here. Love you guys, you know. Okay. Highlights of my week every week, except for getting up.
I gotta say, Constant Bickerton gave a better speech than you just did, Gord.
I wasn't supposed to be a speech. I just didn't have much to update on, and I felt a little bit spare.
No, it's not good enough. Okay. Constant set the bar high here.
I've lost to Constant.
Okay, yesterday Simba was talking about the difference between men and women and how summed up by Dave Chappelle. So we're going to finish off the first hour with his views on men versus women stories, and we'll catch you back with more news with
Excuse me now?
With Mavali Maloe.
With Mafalfale Lemon.
And then, yeah, I will get your messages too. So those after this too.
Everything's based on how they feel. You can hear when they tell stories. You ever hear a man tell a story? It'd be just facts. Who, what, when, where, why? It was me and Bob. We was at Safeway. Then that nigga Bob said this. Then I punched that nigga, and then I broke out. That's the story. That's the story. Women tell stories and all these feelings. And, well, first of all, you have to understand, I was on my period, and I just talked to my mother, so I was feeling like, ah, damn, there's too many feelings. What the fuck happened? Get to it.
We're just running around in circles. We've forgotten how this began. And all the hurt and all the pain take us up and down again wasn't planned. I've been taking you for granted.
This is CliffCentral.com.